Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Who's a Good Dog? I'm Kate Lever, journalist and author of the book Good Dog. My canine co-host is Bertie the Dog, a rescue dog who is part Shih Tzu, part potato. On each episode of Who's a Good Dog, I ask someone wonderful to come on and tell me all about their dog. Today, we've got best-selling novelist Juno Dawson. Juno has written hugely successful books for adults and teenagers, including This Book Is Gay, What's the Tea, Clean, and Meat Market. She's currently working on an incredible-sounding book about witches who are also spies. She's also had roles on TV shows Holby City and I May Destroy You. Her tiny precious dog is called Prince. Juno, first things first, is Prince named after the legendary singer or actual royalty?
Well, yes and no, in that he's very, very tiny, as was Prince. But at the time I got him, I think it was 2014, I had just been crowned the Queen of Teen, which was, in fact, I'm still the Queen of Teen because after the year I won it, they stopped doing it. So I suppose I am now the once and forever Queen of Teen.
As in young adult fiction.
Young adult fiction. So it was kind of like, I really like the Queen of Teen. It came in for some stick because it was very pink and sparkly. But the idea was it was supposed to celebrate just unashamedly female teen fiction. And, you know, it was almost like the Jacqueline Wilson Prize that was never won by Jacqueline Wilson because it had been noted that no authors were selling books in the volume that she was, and yet she was almost entirely overlooked by awards. You know, she's never won kind of like the big major children's book prizes. And so they wanted to celebrate commercial teen fiction. And then she never won it, which is really unfortunate.
And now she never will, because it's
and
you forever.
And now she never will. I wish somebody would bring it back. I always say this because it was run by the book people, and the book people, I'm not even sure if the book people is still going. I wish someone would pick it up, like a W.H. Smith or someone could do the Queen of Teen again. I think that would be really cool. So I think I won the prize in the July, and then it was over that summer that I was starting to think about maybe I'll get a dog. And so it just made sense that as I was the queen to have Prince, and it was that, it just worked, you know, it just felt right, for especially for a chihuahua.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure he's treated like a prince, as he should be. So tell me a little bit about that process of thinking, I might get a dog, and how that got to, here is my dog.
So at the time I was living in Battersea, so the obvious place to go was Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. And so off I trotted. It was a deceptively long walk from my flat, but I went because I'd committed. And this was obviously way, way back pre-COVID, so you could just literally turn up. And I looked at some dogs. My heart was broken. But because we lived on a second floor flat without a garden of our own, and we were told we weren't eligible to adopt. Mm. And it does, I find it endlessly frustrating that it's easier to buy a dog than it is to adopt a dog. Yeah. Because wherever possible, we should be discouraging people from buying puppies. But I did, because I couldn't adopt. So I didn't really have a lot of choice, to be honest, if I wanted to have a dog. I mean, I suppose I could have waited and tried to rehome one that, you know, hadn't gone through like a shelter. And actually, a couple of years later, my friend Sarah, she did just that. You know, she found a family in the area who needed to rehome. And I think that's possibly what I would do in the future. I don't see myself buying a dog again, I must admit. And partly because of the experience with Prince. So I will be careful because I don't want to land myself in prison or anybody else. But now, knowing what I know, now there are red flags about the way I got Prince, in that it was on Gumtree or similar. I think it was Gumtree. And the breeder was in Peckham. And I sort of went round to her flat, where, to be fair, there were three adult chihuahuas. So it kind of figured that she was breeding chihuahuas kind of from this council flat near Peckham Rye Station. But nor did Prince look a thing like either of his parents at all.
Okay.
And since I know now that, you know, the illegal puppy trade, you know, they ship puppies into homes and then you sort of pass off other dogs as being the puppy's parents so that people don't get suspect. Because, you know, I was an adult, I knew that you should always meet the parents and make sure the dogs aren't in some gross puppy farm environment. And it didn't look like a gross puppy farm. It looked like a council house in Peckham Rye. And I saw two adult chihuahuas and I was like, okay, I guess that's the mum and dad. On reflection, I'm not sure that was, I don't know where those puppies had come from. Although there was, so Prince had two brothers, but then there was also another crate that had little tiny, tiny little chihuahuas in.
Tinier than Prince.
And they like were literally just a few days old and they were obviously still suckling on their mum. Mm. And so actually, maybe I'm overthinking it, because maybe I think the idea was they had two bitches and one dog and they kind of took it in turns to breed the bitches, kind of. But I think when I got Prince, he was about £500. So, you know, there was money to be made.
Yeah.
And there is money to be made. Although I think since 2014, regulations have been tightened up. I think it is harder to be a dog breeder. And I think on Gumtree, they have certain rules around dog breeding and things as well now.
Well, it's good to talk about this because I think so few people realise that they even should be looking for red flags in terms of picking up a puppy from a breeder. It seems, you know, it's so easy to think it's legit because how could people get away with that kind of thing? But it is pretty rife. So it's good that you've been able to talk about it because, you know, people should be thinking about this kind of stuff as well.
It's news now as well. I mean, I think a couple of things have put it in the news. One was obviously lockdown and lockdown puppies and people wanting puppies during lockdown. And the other one was Molly May from Love Island.
Yes.
Bought a dog. Tommy Fury bought her a dog, which died, you know, possibly because of the conditions in which it had been brought into the country. And so we know now this is big organised crime stuff. Mm. You know, these are very, and dogs now, you wouldn't get a chihuahua for £500 now.
Oh, no,
You'd be lucky to get a chihuahua for £1,500 now. So, you know, there's money to be made. Once in the middle of the night, Max, my husband and I were walking back from the cinema and we saw this car pull up outside a house 2 minutes from where we live. And they just unloaded a crate full of puppies into this house. And then people, we did report this from to RSPCA, you know, people will see puppies on Gumtree and think they were born in that house. And of course they weren't. They've been imported from, usually from Europe or Russia, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad. But I am so glad that Prince has a lovely, safe home with you. And, yeah. And you know that let's just assume that Prince is immortal, because we don't like to think of a world in which Prince is not around. But, you know, it's lovely that your future dog decisions would be based more on trying to rehome someone. That's, you know, perfect. Yeah. Great situation.
I mean, I've learned a lot now. And as well, I was kind of like the first of my friends to get a dog as well. I mean, never say never. Maybe I would get a puppy again. But I would certainly, I'm much more educated now than I was in 2014. I'm also 7 years older, so, you know.
A lot happens in 7 years to the world, obviously, but mm-hmm. also in our own lives. So you live with Prince and your husband, mm-hmm. Max. Who was in your life first, Max or Prince?
Prince.
Yeah, I thought that was right. I thought I was correct in thinking that. So how did Prince respond when Max started being a regular person in your life?
Bless him. I mean, Prince, so it's funny because he's kind of middle-aged now. So Prince is seven. And there is a level of, I must admit, he is very un-Chihuahua-like. There is a level of disdain he has for other people, which is quite brutal.
Yeah.
In that he's just not fussed. He's not yappy, but you will not hear him unless somebody rings the doorbell. He isn't aggressive. He isn't overly protective of me. He just is completely ambivalent to most other humans. It's awful. But then for whatever reason, he selects certain humans that he adores. And I can count them on like one hand. It's me.
Max Stuart. In that group?
He's not. No, it's so awful. If I go out, sometimes if I've got to go out and the dog walker is fully booked and can't take Prince, Max will be in charge of Prince for the day. Prince might go and sit in Max's office.
Yeah.
If he's really lucky. But he's not really into sitting on his knee. Like, I think once in a blue moon, Prince might just go sit on Max's knee, but often he has to be encouraged to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be. I mean, Max is like 6'4" and Prince is a chihuahua. It must be. It must. I mean, God only knows what Max looks like from down there.
Yeah, an absolute giant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Prince affectionate with you? Will he come and sit on your lap?
Oh my God, yes. He follows me around all the live long day.
Okay. So he's just selective about which people he wants to, you know, deign to let into his, like, inner circle.
There are five of us.
Yeah, okay.
There are literally, in the world, there are five of us. So it's a select group.
Are they friends or family that he selected, or?
One is my mum. Yep. He's very keen on my mum.
Good choice.
He, luckily, his dog walker, who he adores.
Oh,
but Luke, his guy called Luke, he runs a business called Harvey's Walks, get a plug in. Luke is like the dog whisperer. He truly is magic. I mean, there is no dog Luke does not have a bond with.
Mm.
And Stuart, who is a friend of mine, who used to walk Prince actually when he was a little puppy. So that would make sense.
Yes.
And Katie, who is my friend who has him, if I go away like on a big long work trip or if we're on holiday, because Katie's got kids. Oh, actually, he's very keen on the kids.
He likes kids?
So he's good.
Well, some kids.
He's even more ambivalent to children, which is because obviously when children see a tiny little dog coming at them, they tend to flip out. And mm-hmm. Oh my God, a dog. And he's just like, no.
Not interested.
No.
Hi, I'm Martin.
Hello, I'm Sam. And together we host Song by Song, a show about the music of Tom Waits.
So you're listening to Who's a Good Dog right now, but guess what? We're part of the same network, Strip Media.
And speaking of dogs, Tom Waits famously recorded a dog food commercial back in the 1980s, an experience so enriching he's never needed to work in advertising again. Who's a Good Tom Waits?
If you'd like to hear our thoughts on Tom Waits' canine content and more, take a look at songbysongpodcast.com or search Song by Song wherever you find podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So my boyfriend and I consider Bert, our Shih Tzu, to be the third member of our family. Like, the three of us are a family unit. We have family cuddles, we go on family holidays, we are a family. Do you feel the same way about Prince?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this in, I could do another plug, in my book, The Gender Games, that this always sounds like a film line or like something from bad TV, but I didn't really fully understand my capacity for love until I got the dog, because I had never had something that was completely dependent on me. And obviously in a romantic relationship, your partner shouldn't you shouldn't be the center of their world. I don't think that's healthy, and I would say that to a friend, you know. But then I got this dog, this tiny baby dog that was the size of a gerbil, and it was terrifying. Like, shit, you know, if I don't look after this thing, he's gonna die, you know, and it will be on you, and that will be the worst thing in the world. And at the time I was single, shout out to my amazing flatmate at the time, Steve, who I think both of us were driven pretty close to the edge. You know, looking after a puppy is really, really difficult. Mm. And people need to hear that, I think, because I think it's come as a bit of a shock to a lot of people who did get dogs in lockdown. And I knew, you know, that Prince has got, he's got nobody else. It's just me. And now I have Max, but really when it comes to Prince, the buck stops with me. And so I have my career and I've got my partner and I've got my friends, but, you know, Prince will have to come first, you know. And I'm very mindful of the lady in Peckham who I bought the dog off. Her parting words to me as she handed me little baby Prince were, "It's a dog, not a baby." Oh. And I was like, yes, that's true. And you should treat dogs like dogs. They are supposed to walk on the floor and, you know, they're not supposed to be dressed up. But, you know, he is totally my responsibility in the way that a child is its parents' responsibility. And so, yeah, so I do consider us a family, absolutely.
Yeah.
And gosh, that was the longest yes that has ever been, wasn't it? But
I loved it because I liked the voice acting moment.
Thank you. Well, I was in Holby for 6 episodes, well, obviously.
I know.
She's an actress, yeah.
I'm so pleased to hear you talk about a dog coming into your life, teaching you about your capacity to love. Because so often one of the most annoying things people say about women who are not mothers is, you know, you don't know love until you've had a child. And I always think, like, first of all, fuck off. And second of all, why do you suppose to know how much I love my dog? Because if I loved any other creature any more than I love Bert, I would simply cease to exist. I could not function. And I think it's the most beautiful form of love. So I love that because I think it's a very real thing, the love between a person and their dog.
Yeah, and I think so. It's weird. And again, I think people, you see it, especially in, you know, the eyes of human parents rather than dog parents, which is the slightly pitying look. But I think I have made a very definite life choice, a feminist choice, that I would rather have dogs than babies. Mm-hmm. You know, very, very early on in our relationship, Max and I talked about children, and we were both on the same page when it came to wanting human children. You know, the fact I'm trans wasn't really part of that, you know, because I know trans parents, so that's not an issue. Mm. So it's not a case of I feel like I can't have a human baby. I just don't want one. But yep. I do think now that I've had Prince, and again, I don't want to wish him away, but I think I will always have a dog in my life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Prince is the first of my dog children, kind of, but I don't think he'll be the last.
Yeah, and I think that's such a lovely and, I shouldn't have to say, valid choice, but a lot of people are out there trying to invalidate choices like that. And it's just such a, I think it's a wonderful life choice. It's the one I'm making as well. So I, you know, in sort of on that train of thought, I think dogs can be life changing. You know, I wrote a book about all sorts of dogs who've changed, if not saved, the lives of human beings. And Bert, and also my previous dog, also a Shih Tzu named Lady Fluffington, may she rest in peace.
Amazing.
Brought such joy and such love to my life, but also have been such tremendous moral and emotional support, particularly during periods of depression for me, and various other things that have happened in my life, as well as just like providing laughs every day with the sounds they make and the things they do. How do you reckon Prince has changed your life?
Gosh, in so many ways. I think I was 32 when I got Prince, and I was starting to find it a bit weird that I'd never really had any responsibility in my life. I'm a freelance writer. I was a teacher for a while, which, don't get me wrong, that was a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in loco parentis to those kids, you know, when we were on school trips and stuff. But, you know, I could see my friends growing up in different ways, you know, getting mortgages, getting married. Some of them were starting to think about having human children. And I was living this quite nocturnal life. I was going out a lot. I was living in London. I was drunk all the time. And I was a bit like, is this it? You know, is this going to kind of be my life forever? Kind of, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, absolutely. I know, I still know some people in their 50s who are still just really, yep, you know, getting, you know, really milking London for all it's worth.
Fantastic.
Kind of, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
But I just felt I felt I wasn't kind of experiencing the city in a way that I wanted to. I decided, you know, now is as good a time as any. And, you know, despite the fact I had some quite compelling people in my life saying, do not get a dog, it will ruin your life. Hmm. I decided to do it anyway. And you know what? It was, and again, I cannot stress this enough, it was so, so hard.
Yeah.
But I think my friend Tanya Byrne, amazing writer called Tanya Byrne, once said, and I'm assuming it's like an old adage from somewhere, she was like, oh, you can always trust a man with a dog because they're always going home on a night. And she was right. You know,
like
it's meant I have an anchor, like I have a base. So really kind of Prince, and don't get me wrong, I've lived in lots of physical flats since, but really he's become home because I've got to. You know, I can't behave the way I used to behave, which I'm sure my mum will be delighted to know. But, you know, basically it meant I had to grow up. It meant my Peter Pan Neverland days were done.
Yeah. And I do think, like, having a little fluffy angel to look after is transformative. I also find that they're a great excuse for when you do need to, you know, get home. Like, I often am like, well, gotta go, need to look after
the dog's
my dog.
Home. Even when the dog is not home, sometimes I use that excuse. It's a great evergreen reason to leave a boring social event.
Quite right, quite right.
Sometimes I look back at sort of that it was a bold move. You know, recently I've seen a couple of single friends get dogs and they've really struggled.
Yeah, because I feel like it is worth talking about how difficult it is when you get a dog of any age, really, when they're a new housemate, but particularly puppies. I mean, I didn't mean to get a puppy. My last dog, Lady Fluffington, was an elderly lass when I adopted her. And Bert was 9 months, I think, when we got him from Battersea. And he was a nightmare as well, like the sweetest little nightmare in the world. But he would bite me. He bit me on the nipple once, which was just like one of the most painful things that's ever happened.
Oh, my God, that's outrageous. Were you trying to breastfeed your dog, though?
I was not.
Because
I think you
brought that one on yourself. Your limits for grossness change so fast when you're a dog owner as well. I used to be quite concerned about things being clean, and now it's, you know, the things, you know, when you've wrestled things from your dog's mouth that he's not supposed to be eating. And, you know, my dog has, sorry, Prince, you know, I'm going to shame you on a podcast. My dog has impacted anal glands, which means I'm constantly having to empty his anal glands.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's a thing with small dogs, apparently. The thing that if you'd tell me 8 years ago that, you know, well, this is going to be your life now. You have to, about once a fortnight, you have to massage your dog's anal glands. Would I have got a dog? Probably not. But similarly, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. Your grossness threshold changes. I have caught an entire handful of projectile vomit from my dog.
Excellent.
I've witnessed the act and the aftermath of him taking sort of a bite of sheep poo as if it was an ice cream. So yeah, you know, they are like, they're angels and members of the family, but they are creatures and
disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
They're gross. Yeah, you should know that if you're going to get a dog, they're gross.
Yeah, they're so gross. So beautiful and so perfect, but so disgusting. So does he enjoy public transport because everyone makes a fuss of him?
Yeah, so while I read a book when I was preparing, so again, I did all the things you're meant to do when you're going to be a first-time dog parent. I went out and bought every single book about chihuahuas that I could find in Waterstones. And one of them said, you must expose your dog to everything you want them to be comfortable with in the first 14 weeks of life. So given that Prince came to live with me, I think he was about 9 or 10 weeks old, you know, that meant I had 4 weeks to make sure he had experienced everything in London so yep. that he could live as a Londoner. So that poor dog, I mean, the things, you know, he was on the tube, we were going to great heights, you know, I was desperately trying to expose him to everything that life might throw at him. And you still fail. He's still very, very weird about mobility scooters, which is really problematic.
Yeah.
It's quite problematic. But yeah, I was really making sure he'd been on buses and in cars. And as well, I knew that as a part of my career, travel is just a fundamental part of my job as a touring author. So, you know, he got very, very used to being dumped on publicists. My poor publicists didn't have a lot of choice about whether or not they had to. I would just dump this sort of puppy on them and be like, right, you hold him because I've got to go on stage. And so, yeah, very often, you know, Prince would be sat on a publicist in the front row of an event while I was giving a talk at like some sort of literary festival. And that was just... But you can kind of lean into it, because when you have a job like an author or an actor or something like that, you know, people assume you're going to be hard work. So you might, in the end, you kind of lean into it and you just become hard work. Like, well, there she is with a fucking dog. Yep. Why not? Because you think I'm difficult anyway, so we might as well just be difficult. Let's really do it.
Well, I'm sure publicity teams deal with much worse than having to have a teeny tiny little dog on their laps during
I like to think so. They seemed quite keen. And there's always, in a group, there's always someone who wants a dog. You know, even if there is somebody who doesn't love dogs, somebody else does, so.
Definitely. Okay, quick fire questions. Where does Prince sleep at night?
He sleeps under our bed on like a blanket thing. 9 o'clock is when he goes out for his little wee and then just takes himself off to bed. We don't really see him after nine. He goes under the bed and we don't see him anymore.
Just keeps to himself, bless him.
Yeah, he gets his Santa, his gross Santa, which is just
his
a
toy?
Chewed rag.
Yeah.
And drags it under the bed. It's quite chilling just watching Santa go under the bed like in a horror film, like his little arms
Oh my God.
Just watch it vanish under the bed. Yeah, it's like a horror film.
It is so funny. Does he snore?
Sometimes he can be a bit snuffly. He had kennel cough earlier this year and he snored a lot during that, but not normally.
I'm sure he can't. He's not a producer of a lot of noise being so small.
No.
What is his favourite hobby?
He's very fascinated by a family of foxes who live at the bottom of our garden. They previously lived under our decking, but we had all the decking torn up, so they've moved two doors down. Although for how long, I'm not sure, because the house two doors down have just got a puppy. So these poor foxes are having quite a time of it, but Prince is very vigilant towards the back garden, knowing that he will occasionally see a fox.
Does he have any costumes, accessories or outfits?
He's not a fan.
Yeah.
He will tolerate a harness.
Just.
but no, he's not, and I so wish he was, but alas, no.
Oh, think of the cuteness that could happen. I know, Bert's not into it either. We, like, absolutely forced a little Santa outfit on him once and he was not happy, so we're not going to do it again. Has he ever destroyed anything precious or expensive?
Yes, he did. So this, and again, things you learn, which is don't keep things around. So I had this little teddy that I'd had since I was a tiny child.
Oh.
And it was called Little Tiny Baby Hedgehog. I thought Little Tiny Baby Hedgehog was safe because I'd put it on my bed. And as a puppy, Prince couldn't jump on my bed. But then, of course, there came a day when he could jump on the bed because he got big enough. And he jumped upon the bed and he got hold of Little Tiny Baby Hedgehog and he did eat its face.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
yeah, that is.
Oh, dear.
That's devastating. That's a tough story. What are the funniest noises he makes?
He's so silent that that's really difficult. He's really, really mute. He's either silent or barking when the doorbell goes. And I think that's largely because for a lot of our flats, I never had a doorbell. So by the time he became aware of what a doorbell did, I think he was a bit too old to relax into it.
Kind of. Yeah. What's the stupidest thing he's ever done?
His first encounter with water was interesting, although he just launched himself into a pond and swam.
Oh, great.
I don't know quite how he survived that one, but that was a choice.
Yeah, Bert launched himself into a frozen pond at Hampstead Heath. One of the ponds had frozen over, and he was like, oh, this looks like I could walk on it. He could not. We had to fish him out by his harness. I don't think I've ever gasped so dramatically. What's his favourite type of scratch?
Oh, tummy. Yeah, belly. But then that is a sign that you've definitely earned his love because he won't do that. Because one of my regrets about chihuahuas is rarely can you convince them to be turned onto their back.
Mm.
So you can't hold them like a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. Like Prince, it's never going to happen. He flips out if you try to turn him upside down. So if he is willing to bear his tummy to you, then you are doing really well. And that was a moment for Max because he will let Max scratch his tummy. So.
Oh, bless. Do either of you, dog or human, have any projects coming up you'd like to tell me about?
Prince is still just chilling in his middle age. And in terms of me, I've got my first Christmas novel coming out this Christmas. So that's a first for me.
I saw. Remind me what it's called.
It's called Stay Another Day after the East 17 Christmas number one. And, you know, my last three novels have been quite heavy. So, you know, I've tackled drug addiction and sexual assault and drug use. So I wanted to do something just lovely, and what could be more lovely than Christmas? And last year, obviously, we didn't really get Christmas because of lockdown and I didn't get to go home. Bizarrely, last winter, that was when I was filming my episodes of Holby. And what they don't tell you about life in a soap opera. It's like you just do a lot of waiting. You do a lot of waiting around to be called to set. And so I mostly wrote Stone of the Day from a BBC changing room because I was just really excited about Christmas, but at the same time really bummed out because it kind of did feel like Christmas was cancelled. And so it's a lot more lighthearted than the last three novels. It's basically a rom-com. It's like if you like Love Actually and The Family Stone and Last Christmas, all those Christmas movies. It's kind of like a Christmas movie and a novel.
Oh, can't wait. I think it sounds amazing. Juno, thank you so much for talking to me about dogs.
What a fun way to spend an hour. Let's just talk about dogs.
Thank you for listening to Who's a Good Dog. If you liked the show, hit subscribe on your favourite podcast app and tell your friends at the dog park. If you didn't, keep it to yourself. And if you really, really liked it, I actually wrote a whole book about dogs. It's called Good Dog, celebrating the dogs who change and sometimes even save our lives. It's about my dog, Bert, and how he helped me through depression, and 10 other good dogs who've helped their people too. There's a precious Australian guide dog, an autism support pug, and a diabetic alert collie. Basically, if you like dogs, I can almost guarantee you'll like this book. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok on Kate I. Lever. This episode of Who's a Good Dog was produced by Arlie Adlington. Original music is by Luke Batt, and the artwork is by Ryan Hodge. Cuteness levels generously increased by the presence of Bert the dog.
Who's a good dog?
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.